praise the Lord. Psalm 34. I hope you've read that in days gone by. David fakes being mentally insane in 1 Samuel 21, and he wrote Psalm 34 out of that and said that God takes care of the bones of his own. He said, just taste and see, the Lord is good. Amen. Thank you, John Choir Praise Group, Manuel, for sharing with us today. Take your Bible and go with me to three passages of Scripture. Again, those that are joining us online, I just happened to look down at my phone, heard from one of our missionaries in Guatemala City who's watching in this service, some friends in Texas, Romania, that sent me notes this day that they're tuned our way along with a host of others of you, as well as the people on our Warrington campus. Thank you for being right here with us as we worship today. Always grateful for our online campus as well as the Warrington campus and those on the Pensacola campus being here today. James chapter 1 and verse number 9, Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 15, and then in the Revelation chapter 3 and verse 22, I want to read three verses of Scripture this morning and share a message with us entitled, The Listening Ear. The Listening Ear. James chapter 1 and verse 19, the brother of our Lord said, this you know, my beloved brethren, and he's talking about the context of the first, the verses right before that about the purpose of God. He said, you know this, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak. That would send revival in America right there. Amen. My soul, if we had ever learned to shut our mouth and open our ears, we'd have revival. As those old country preachers used to say, God gave you two of these and one of these, and you ought to use this twice as much as you use this. Amen. But we must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and then slow to anger, because he goes on to say, the anger of man never achieves the righteousness of God. No matter how mad you get, you will not achieve the righteousness of God. Brethren, quick to hear. Then Jesus said in Matthew 11 in verse 15, and he said this many times, he who has ears, anybody in here have ears? Everybody's got ears, raise your right hand. Say, I got ears. Well, if anybody's got ears to hear, let him talk. No. If you got ears to hear, let him hear. The listening ear. And then in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, there are seven letters written to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Ephesus, Sardis, Laodicea, Thyatira. He writes seven letters. And every letter ends the same way. And here is the last letter, the last word written that is the postscript to every one of these seven letters. And John ends them all with this, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Quick to hear. If you have ears, let him hear. Let the churches hear what the Spirit has to say. So you remember eighth grade science? They taught you about your ears. They said your ears had an outer ear, a middle ear, and an inner ear. You remember? Coming back to you now. The outer ear is that deal hanging on the side of your head. Okay? That's your outer ear. I have those, and my right ear hangs way out here. See, if I turn around, you can see. This ear hangs way out, but this ear's close to my head. When I put on a microphone, if it's just to go over the right ear, I can't wear it. It spins like a top over here, all right, because my ear hangs way out. I slept on this ear when I was a baby. My mother said she kept trying to tape it to my head, keep it from doing it, but it didn't work. And so I have a wide right ear. For all my Florida State fans, that's what I call it, is my Florida State ear, my wide right. Back when they used to kick those field goals with their wide right, I remember my right ear. You have an outer ear. You have an outer ear. Everybody's got the outer ear. Then you have the middle ear. You remember there's three little bones in your middle ear. Now, they have scientific names, but they had eighth grade science names, too, where you remembered. One of them was the anvil. Then there was the hammer. And then there was, because it looked like where you got a saddle, the stirrup. You remember? Those three little bones in the middle ear. Now, they've got scientific names, but you didn't have to remember that in eighth grade science. The anvil, the hammer, and the stirrup. They're right behind your eardrum. And then past that is the inner ear, where the cochlea is. All of those little fibers, thousands, that pick up on, see, it wasn't working in because there wasn't any sound that went in there. But when that sound wave goes in, then it strikes and all of that, so you can hear. You have ears to hear. John Stott said, we should always be involved in double listening. Double listening. Stott said, you should listen to the voice of God through the Bible and to the voices of men and women all around us. He called it double listening. Listening to the voice of God through Scripture and to the voices of men and women all around us. Now, involuntary deafness is a grievous disability. You get where you can't hear, it is a grievous disability. Now, they have marvelous helps today and aids that you can get that will help you, but if you cannot hear, it is a grievous disability. My father came to the place. He just couldn't hear very well. He had hearing aids. But you know, if you don't put the batteries in those deals, they won't work at all. My daddy had a drawer full of batteries, and he'd always have, and he'd say, I can't get them to work. He'd throw them in the drawer. It's not fun if you can't hear. Involuntary deafness. But now listen to me. Deliberate deafness is both a sin and a folly. When you choose not to hear, deliberately, you are deaf. We often say, oh, he just turned a deaf ear. Friend, that is sin and it is folly in your life. We must have listening ears. And I want to challenge us this morning about having listening ears. I'm telling you, there's words all around us. You need to be listening to some and tuning out others. So let's jump right in. I want to show you three things you ought to be listening for today. Number one, and you would guess, that we should first and foremost listen to God. Listen to God. He will speak through two mediums to us. Number one, he will always speak through Scripture, and he will speak through his Spirit. Now, he has his preachers and his teachers. There are other ways that you may hear God. He says in Romans, he speaks through the creation. You can hear God. You'll go out and you see a marvelous sunset or sunrise. You can hear the Lord. I heard from one of our missionaries this morning, Mitch Lambeth, who was a deacon in our church and went to Cowley, Wyoming. They are there this morning, and they pray for us every day. I got a picture from them today as they were going to the church to open it up, and the pastor made a picture of Mitch shoveling snow so they could open the doors. They had 10 inches of snow this morning. And they couldn't get the church house doors open until Mitch dug out the doors. Says first time a guy from Shamukla had ever dug the doors out from snowfall this morning. Well, don't you tell you, friend, you got to be listening. Now the preacher speaks and through the church, but the two ways I want you to see is that there's never an error with Scripture and Spirit. Your preacher may mess up, and yours does from time to time. But let me tell you, the Scripture speaks and never stutters. As people have kind of got a little saying going around now, if you want to hear God, read the Bible. If you want to hear Him out loud, read it out loud. You can hear the Scriptures, you'll hear God. The Spirit of God will speak to you. Listen to what the Bible says about that. Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, "Call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you both life and death, both blessing and cursing. So choose life in order that you may live and your descendants, loving the Lord your God by what? Obeying His voice. And by holding fast to Him, for this is your life and your length of days." Listen to me now. Obey His voice, and therefore you can live in the land as God has for you to do it. So number one, obey His voice. You hear it, obey it. Psalm 95, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, "For He is our God, and we're the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand." Today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah in the day of Massah and the wilderness. Oh, my soul, don't do it. Hear. Open up your ears. And then Jeremiah said it. Jeremiah 13 and verse number 10. "This wicked people who refuse to listen to my words, who walk in the stubbornness of their hearts and have gone after other gods to serve them, bow down to them. Let them be just like this waistband," which is totally worthless. He's using that illustration there to say if you don't listen to God, you're just going to be worthless in the kingdom. So listen to God. He's speaking to us. We read His word. We hear His Spirit. Then we have teachers and preachers and others that comes to us. So what does God say? Moses was on the mountain. He received the Ten Commandments. He came down, and as he got there, Joshua said, "Moses, there is a sound of war in the camp." He came down and he found that Aaron had built a golden calf and they were dancing all around it. Moses threw down and broke the commandment. He dealt with the people, went back to the mountain. God told him to bring two more tablets, and God's finger wrote the Ten Commandments on those tablets. And as he was coming down the mountain again, he got ready to leave and come. We find him coming down that mountain in Exodus 34 and verses 6 and 7. He cries out to the Lord. And he said, "You are the Lord Elohim, And in those two verses, he tells us the three things that God is always speaking to his people. Here they are. Number one, God is always saying to us, I love you. You're at Warrington today, God loves you. You're seated in this building hearing this, God loves you. You're at home, you're watching the internet, you're on television, listening on radio, God loves you. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure. Don't hear me hiccup. I'm telling you, God loves you. Yes, he does. That's what he said when he came down from the mountain. He said, the Lord loves us. Don't ever get over that. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever try to run from it. God is always speaking, I love you. Secondly, in that text of Exodus 34, he says, I will forgive you if you will repent. He says, I love you and I love you right where you are. And if you will repent of your sin and you will say, oh, God, forgive me, you cry out. He said, I will forgive you of iniquity, transgression, and sin. He uses all three of those words right there. I will forgive you. And dear friend, when I give the invitation here in a few moments, I invite you to come because the love of God is here for you. God loves you. And he will forgive you if you will repent. That's why Jesus went to Calvary. But there's a third thing he says. He says, I love you, I will forgive you. And thirdly, he says, I will not be mocked. I will not be mocked. Because if you do not repent, I will visit your sinfulness on your children and your children's children until the third and the fourth generation. God will not be mocked. He loves you and he makes it clear. He says if you'll run to him, he will forgive you and he'll change your life. But if not, he will not be mocked and your sin will multiply and it will be worse for your children and your children's children and your great-great-great-grandchildren than it is on you. He is not mocked. No, he's not. And he is speaking that word, and he's speaking that word. You don't have to love him back, but I'm telling you, if you go into this world and mock him, your sin will multiply. If you repent, it'll be nullified. The choice is yours. He says, I set before you life and death. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Listen to God. We need to be like Mary was in Luke 10. You remember what happened in Luke 10? Jesus came and Mary and Martha was there. And Martha was kind of mad, but it says she had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. Amen. That's where God needs to find the people called Olive. It's where he needs to find all of us, seated at the feet of Jesus, listening, ever listening to his word. Number one today, listen to God. But now number two, you need to learn to listen to one another. You do. Hear God first, but then you need to listen to one another. Four things I'd say about that. Places you need to listen. Number one, you need to listen at home. You need to listen at home. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8 says it this way. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Children, listen to your mother and father. Listen, and don't forsake. the teaching. Mark Twain said when he was 14 years old, he had the dumbest daddy the world ever had. He said, my father was dumb as a rock. He said, 7 years went by and I turned 21 and I don't know what happened, but my father had gained the greatest education there had ever been in all the world. He said, my father was brilliant when I turned 21. How could he have been so foolishly stupid at 14? Listen at home. God has given you the parents He's given you, and they will speak into your life. I told this story at least three times this week. People ask me about it. I have young preachers come talk to me. They say, Pastor, how'd you learn what you know about pastoring a church? I said, everything I know about pastoring a church, I learned at the Pisgah IGA grocery store. So my seminary professor was Gene Traylor. The first thing about pastoral ministry my mother told me, because our little town, it was all right there at that little crossroad and everything else out in the country. All the little town was just right there at one little crossroad. Our grocery store was on one side and the church was on the other side. We were standing outside one day and she said these words to me and I've never forgotten. She said, never forget the same people that come in this grocery store walk in that church house. And she said, if you want them to come back in here and buy groceries a second time, you better treat them right. And if you want them to come back and hear you preach again, you better treat them right, because it's the same crowd going in the store and the church. I thought, that's the smartest thing I've ever heard in my life. If you want them to come back and buy again, then you better tell the truth, do right, be loyal. At the church, you better love your people, encourage them, try to do right. Tell the truth. My mother spoke volumes into my life about church. She also said, we have enough boring preachers, you're not going to study quit now. She said, when you do a funeral, to always tell the truth. Don't make me sit there and wonder if I need to walk up there and look in the box and see if I'm at the wrong place. She said, there's no need to paint them like an angel if they live like a devil. If you live like a devil, don't ask me to do your funeral. I'm not going to paint your picture for you. You've already preached it. But not only do children need to listen to parents, let me tell you, husbands need to listen to wives, and wives need to listen to husbands. There needs to be listening ears between spouses. If you're married today, you need to talk less and listen more. When it's time to speak up, speak, but you need to learn to listen. Hear that person who's pledged their life to you. They love you. We need to listen to one another. We need to listen at home. Secondly, we need to listen at work. Man, it'd be a lot less conflict resolution problem if we learned to listen at work. Amen. I've people from time to time say, well, I bet it's just great. I wish I could work at the church. Hey, folks, we got the same problems here as you got wherever you were. Why is that? Because it's people. You got to learn to listen and communicate. Learn to listen to one another. Do it at home. Do it at work. Thirdly, do it at the courthouse. Boy, if we could ever get to the place where our government officials learn to listen to one another again, we'd be well on our way to solving some of the issues we've got in front of us. It was 1864. Civil War's coming to an end. Lincoln is president. The 13th Amendment is before him. It is for the abolishment of slavery. He has to decide, is he going to sign or not? Harriet Beecher Stowe says, after the interview and talking with the president, she said, how did you come to the decision to sign the 13th Amendment? He said, I shut my mouth and I listened to people on every side of the issue, both free states and slave states and border states and those that were abolitionists and those that were non. He said, I listened to white, I listened to black. He said, I listened to those in my party, those not in my party, and I finally had to come to a decision. But he said, my decision was made after I did not talk, but I listened. Boy, would it help us today if people were once again listening at the courthouse, state house, why, you can call it whatever house you want. In the political realm, there needs to be some listening one to another. Listen to the Lord. Listen to one another at home, at work, at the courthouse. But number four, you need to listen at church to one another. We just always preaching. If we learn to listen to one another. 2 weeks ago, well, it's been 4 weeks ago now, I was on a Zoom call, and it was dealing with critical race theory. It was six African-American pastors and six white pastors, and they invited me, and I was a part of that. But some of those guys asked some questions, and I said, I will not answer those questions on a Zoom call. I can't see you, you can't see, I don't know that, but I said, next time we're together, I'll be glad to talk. A few days I got a call, and five of my friends from South Florida, three from Miami, two from Orlando, said, Pastor, we're coming. We're going to drive, and we want to sit down and talk to you about these issues. And so five of my black colleagues came, and we sat and we talked for 3.5 hours that day. And then we made a picture right here at this pulpit. You'll see it come up on the screen. The five of them, the gentleman standing next to me, Eric Cummings, is the president of the Florida Baptist Convention. You'll see Jeff Singletary grinning in the middle. Jeff works for us in Florida Baptist Convention. Those other three guys are pastors. The young pastor over here is Theo. We were walking out. They wanted to see the building. We showed him around. He pastors a church in Miami. And I noticed as we were going out, he stood at one of these cameras right here. He just kept dealing with one of the, looking at the camera. And when we walked out, he looked at one of the, he said, man, that's, I need the new, he said, we don't have that. We need a camera at our church, and I need that camera. And as we were walking out, I said, they sell them every Monday. Now, I know we're online right now, and but I'm going to buy him one of those, and you're going to pay for it. Okay? We're going to buy that church plant in Miami a camera. They need one, and you're going to buy him one. Amen. I'm going to see to it. Yeah. If you want to help me, just write me a check, Olive Baptist Church, hand it to me. I'll stick it in my pocket, and we'll pay for that camera, all right? We're going to do that. But we sat and talked for 3.5 hours that day. They learned some things about me they never knew. I learned things about them I never knew. I had that work, the listening ear, the listening ear. And let me tell you, if it'll work in the racial tension of the church across the state of Florida, it'll work from this section to this one, this one to that one, from this member to that member, if we'll learn to sit and listen and pray with one another, God will bring great peace in the life of the church and strength and power to do the work that God calls us to do that we can't do by ourselves, but together we can go, but only if we've learned to listen one to another. Wasn't my idea to have this meeting. They just called and said, can you do it next such and such a date? And I looked into my calendar. I said, yeah, I can. And so they said, well, let's do it. I said, all right, good. You come, we'll go to lunch. They had somewhere they wanted to go, but it was an outdoor place. And I said, we really don't need to go. I said, I got another place. I took them to Five Sisters downtown. Yeah. And we almost had revival just having lunch. All right? And we began to eat, and everybody got fried chicken. Everybody got fried chicken. And they asked every one of us, says, you want white meat or dark meat? And every one of those black preachers got dark meat. And I said, well, why do you call it that? And we began, I said, I learned in Romania they don't call it dark meat and white meat. They call it run in or flying. I said, y'all don't need to call it that anymore. I said, you need to eat run in or flying. White meat's flying. That's breasts and wings. And running is the legs and the thighs. That's the dark meat. And I said, they taught me that on a mission trip in Romania. Oh, we like, you see, this helps you to talk and to laugh one with another, and don't take yourself so serious. Everything's not life or death. It's your brother and your sister. So learn to have a listening ear. Listen to God. Listen to one another. But there's a third thing I quickly say, and that is that you need to listen. Now, don't turn me off here. Don't go out saying, oh, Lord, he's a liberal. Listen to the world. Listen to the world. Now, I do not mean by this to take counsel from the unregenerate, but to hear them and learn of their hurt. We should listen to our world. You should listen to the poor. Proverbs 21:13. Listen to the word of God. Proverbs 21:13 says, he who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered. You need to listen to the poor. Hear their cry. You don't have to agree with it. Drugs are most always involved, but not always, but sometimes. Bad decisions. Tough luck, you can call it whatever you want. There's something behind that almost every time. Learn to listen to the poor. It's a cry from the very bowels of the people. And you must show the love of God in 1 John 3:17. Whoever has the world's goods, if you've got goods, and see your brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? If you see a brother and sister and they've got need and you don't answer the cry, the love of God's not in us. Listen to the world a little bit. Don't take counsel. They're not going to give you good counsel. Don't get your theology from the world. God help you, no, don't do it. But listen to them. Listen to their cry. Not only from the cry of the poverty, but listen to the cry of the lost. The lost. Listen to the cry. Listen to lost people. I had a man in my office this week on Friday. And he came by and we're going to talk about the gospel. And I just asked questions. I just wanted to hear. I wanted to hear him. It's amazing when people ask questions. I'll open the door for you to answer with the gospel. Jesus was the master. He talked to harlots and tax collectors and fishermen and demoniacs and religious Pharisees, the woman at the well, on and on and on. He just kept asking questions. They kept opening doors. He kept giving you life. That's our job. Jesus did it that way. You're watching today. And you've never said yes to Jesus, but you ought to, and you want to, and you're ready to pray. I want you to send me a text today. I want you to send me a text. Go to your phone, text the number 94000, and just send me the word Savior, and we're going to call you back. One of our guys, John, so our team will reach back to you and help you. If you want to know the Lord, you want to join this church today, then just send us that word Savior at 94000. We want to hear you. We'll call and listen. That's what we'll do. We'll be on the phone. There's a talking end on one end and a listening on the other end. And we're going to listen as well as communicate with you. Let us know. just text me that number. You're in this room today. You need the Lord. Then you need to come to this table out there. Just walk forward. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to one more verse of Scripture. Go to the Old Testament, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3 and verse number 10. You remember little Samuel? Hannah's mama took him, gave him to that priest, and Samuel kept waking up in the middle of the night. He kept hearing a voice. Samuel, Samuel. He come run to Eli. He said, well, what's going on? He said, the Lord's speaking to you. He said, I don't know. I just hear this voice. And he said, go back to bed. And if you hear it again, tell him you're listening. And Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and stood and called him as he did at other times. Samuel, Samuel, Jerry, Jerry, Helen, Helen, Ted, Ted, Bruce, Bruce, Jean, Jean, Dorothy, Dorothy. And Samuel said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. That, my friend, is what you need to say to God. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. I'm all ears. I'm listening. We've all done it. If you're a parent, you've done it. I want you, and then they turn, and you tenderly jerk a knot in their neck. Listen to me. Most of the time, if you have to scream, listen, they won't. I'm talking to you. Well, who doesn't know that? They don't act like it. We see, it's one thing for the words to come. It's another for you really to listen. But now watch this. I was 10 years old. I sat in seven rows back. Seven. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. And the Spirit of God said, I'm going to save. I want you to come today. I said, I got to go down there? Yeah. I was listening, but I wasn't going. I finally turned loose and I came. God gloriously saved my soul as a little 10-year-old boy. He'd do the same for you today if you'll turn loose and come to Him. Fast forward almost 8 years later, I heard the call of God. I got my hand on you. I want you to preach the gospel. Man, I ran from that. It was not a matter that I didn't hear it. It was a matter that I didn't listen. You see, you can hear and not listen. Does that make sense to you? You can hear it but not listen. Because when you listen, you obey. Amen. Man, I ran from the call of God in my life. So I'm not doing that. No. I got it all laid out, Lord. I'm going to coach basketball. That's what I'm going to do. Amen. I got it all planned. And I even said this. I said, Lord, I will tithe double if you let me off this deal. I said, when I sign that big contract, I give 20%, not 10. He said, I don't want your money. I want you. God wants you. He wants all of you.
and He wants you to listen. To listen.
He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. What's God saying to you today? For some of you, He's saying, come, trust me, get saved. Online, send me that at 94,000. Let me know. In this room, on the Warrington campus, God's calling you. Go to one of those Next Step tables. In here, you need the Lord. Then come to this table. I'll be waiting on you right there. Go to a table out in the foyer. I'll be waiting. Those guys will be helping you right there. You're here today and ought to join this church. Somebody ought to come move your membership today. It'd be a great day for you just to come. Say, Pastor, I'm ready to do that. Here, week four last, I had a man and his five family members walk right. I said, Pastor, we're ready today. Amen. Had a couple last Sunday night. I said, Pastor, we're ready. We're coming. So if you're ready today, you've heard this is where you should be. And God's voice is saying, do it. The listening ear. Double listening, Stott said. Listening to the voice of God through the Bible and listening to the men and women around you. Double listening. He that has ears, let him hear. Father, speak. Your people are listening. Save, break us, move in us. We'll bless you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Mm-hmm.